Last week we looked at the angels appearing to the shepherds while they're out in the field on the night Jesus was born. And now we are 8 days later. Just over a week later, I'll begin reading at verse 21 and read through verse 40. Our text will be verses 25 through 35. We begin a reading back, Luke chapter 2 at verse 21. This is the word of the Lord. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now our text. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And there ends a reading from God's holy word. Once again, our text will be verses 25 through 35. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas is upon us. I don't have to tell you boys and girls that's the case. You don't have school. Looking forward for the next week and a half. And maybe you've been waiting. Maybe you've even been counting down the days. I know some kids who've been doing that lately. Counting down the days until Christmas. The fact of the matter is it's hard to wait, especially when something great is coming. Maybe at Christmas you get to see relatives or grandparents. Maybe you open presents. Maybe some people are going on a vacation. We can all understand that experience of waiting for something good, waiting for something exciting. Well, this morning we turn in God's word to someone who else was waiting for a long time. In fact, he waited his entire life. And this man's name was Simeon. Simeon goes down in history as a wonderful, faithful saint who waited on the Lord and then was filled with gratitude when God showed him the Christ child. He could hold up that glorious gift prophesied from of old and now brought into his presence. This was a man, Simeon, advanced in years, who could now die in peace with thanksgiving in his heart. On this Christmas, let us look to this redemption song, especially that Simeon sings here. So our theme this morning is we are led in song of faith in God's promised Messiah. We are led in a song of faith in God's promised Messiah. First, we'll see Simeon's situation, second, Simeon's song, and then third, Simeon's prophecy. So first, we see the situation. Simeon, we don't know too much about him, but he was an old man who lived in Jerusalem. Well, what did he do for a living? He was likely a priest. Though our text does not say that explicitly, we do see him bless Mary and Joseph in our text, which is something a priest would commonly do. It also seems in verses 27 and 28 that Joseph and Mary brought the child to Simeon for that blessing. Nevertheless, what our text says in verse 25 was that there's a man named Simeon. This man was righteous and devout. What this means is that he was devoted. He was deeply religious. He was sincere in his devotion to the Lord. In a day and age, 2,000 years ago, of so much spiritual ignorance, and you'll see that in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Simeon was faithful. Simeon was a faithful one who was waiting. Who was waiting on the fulfillment, the completion of a promise from of old, but uniquely was promised to him. Simeon was filled with the Spirit, and he was waiting for what our text calls the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for that which the other faithful, like Anna, was also waiting for. But notice something interesting here about this relationship between Simeon and the Holy Spirit. Simeon, to use the literal language of our text, was really under the influence of the Spirit. In verse 25, it says, "And the Holy Spirit was upon him." And the reason why this is important, that the Holy Spirit was upon him, is because what he's going to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, the baby, is prophetic in nature. Just like the prophets, as Scripture teaches, were carried along by the Holy Spirit, here, Simeon is being carried along in a unique way by the Spirit. Not only that, this Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon something that we don't know was revealed to anybody else. We don't know of anybody else in the Scriptures whom God promised by the Spirit or through an angel, we're not sure, they will not die until they see Jesus. They will not die until they see the Lord's Christ. Well, Christ means anointed. Christ is the New Testament word for Old Testament, Messiah. He will not die. He will continue to live into old age until the Messiah comes, until the anointed one of God. This is quite a promise to make. What an amazing privilege for this man, Simeon, who is faithful and devout. So our text says there in verse 27 that he is moved with the Spirit to go into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law. Now, these things are not just happening by chance. This isn't just simply a coincidence. Simeon just didn't happen to be on duty that day working in the temple, and it just so happened to be the day that Joseph and Mary bring the babe Jesus. There's no coincidence in this. God is directing this. The shepherds out in the field, they weren't lucky that they happen to be there when the angels happen to appear. Almighty God is directing this and all of these events. Anna, verse 38, didn't just show up to see the Christ child. The wise men in the east didn't just simply gaze and see, hey, is that a new star over there? Never seen that star before. Let's go there. We'll hear more about that tomorrow. These things are directed by God. The great things in redemptive history are directed by God, but also the small things are also directed by God. And so once again, we see God's initiative. God acts, and then his faithful servant responds, just like he did with Mary and her response. Simeon here is not passive. He's cooperating with the Holy Spirit's leading. And this can be, in some way, a description of the Christian life. a walking with, in fellowship, the Holy Spirit. Now, notice one more thing here before we get into this song. Verse 27, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to do for him what the law, what the custom of the law required. Well, what was that? Circumcision? No, that already happened. That happened back in verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So they come here, verse 27, to do what the custom of the law told them to do. First, custom is not bad. Yeah, it's old-fashioned. This is our old customs, man-made customs. Customs are not bad, especially when customs are rooted in the Holy Scriptures. We should not do things for the sake of custom, but for the wisdom of custom. And not all custom is equal, but the Scriptures use this word in a positive light here. Also realize that Jesus is fulfilling all righteousness. He's keeping the law. Think about that. He's only 8 days old. He doesn't even know what's going on. Jesus did not have a cognitive ability that he's some super eight-day-old child. He didn't ask Mary and Joseph, you know, tomorrow is the eighth day. I need to be circumcised. You're going to do that, right? So that God raised up Joseph and Mary that they might walk in righteousness before him, and in this Christ child, fulfill the very things the law had called upon. He's circumcised on the eighth day. He's being brought to the temple. In our text here, he's being dedicated. Why is he being dedicated? Well, if your Bible's open, turn over to Exodus chapter 13. This is why he's being dedicated. It's important that we see these things because these are going to be things which will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This is part of his work. In chapter 13, verse 12 and 13. Exodus 13, verse 12 says, "And you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are male shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." Well, what's this getting at? Well, it's getting at the dedication of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first child born, the first son born in a family, was dedicated to the Lord. He's the only one. He's the only child that Mary had that was dedicated to the Lord. None of Jesus' brothers would have been dedicated to the Lord. So Jesus is dedicated to the Lord in fulfillment of Exodus chapter 13, 12 and 13. Okay, how does that apply to today? Well, he's the fulfillment of that, which means there's no longer any validity to baby dedication. Baby dedication is as valid as dog dedication. Your dog has puppies. First male puppy to be born, dedicated. No, we don't do that. It sounds even silly to bring it like that. It's almost making things trivial of something that should be weightier. Jesus Christ fulfilled this. He fulfilled circumcision. It's no longer valid. Why? He's the final shedding of blood. He's the final dedication dedicated to the Lord. Jesus is born under the law, and yet he kept the law. The second Adam is already here in his infancy in our text, begun a life of testing and serving the Lord. These godly parents are aids, are helps in keeping God's commandments. It's really a mystery of God's work. Even the role of Joseph and Mary, there's much written on this, but we should recognize the fact that God raised up faithful people in fulfillment of some of these promises. So that's the situation. Second, we see Simeon's song in verses 28 through 32. In verse 28, we see Simeon take the Christ child in his hands. When I picture, you know, him holding up the Christ child. Why do we picture it that way? Well, probably because we've seen it in artwork. The most famous painter was Rembrandt. He painted Simeon 3 times, 17th century. Bellini in 1460 also had a painting of Jesus and the Christ child. Simeon takes up this child in his arms and he praises God. What else would he do? That shouldn't be surprising. He's holding the consolation of Israel. What else would he do but worship God? And so we see this song. The promise is being fulfilled. We don't know when Simeon was first promised that he would see the Christ child, but the waiting is over. So he begins, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Simeon addresses the Lord, rightly so. He recognizes what God has done. He did all that he said he would do. All he had waited for has now arrived. Now he can be dismissed in peace. I can depart in peace. Well, boys and girls, what that means to depart in peace is to die. He's saying, God, I can now die, and I can die in peace. Simeon has seen with his eyes, and now he can die. That's a blessing. It is a blessing for saints to die with assurance and faith. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Simeon is now ready. And it's a special gift that I think God gives to most of his saints. There might be exceptions, but if you're healthy, you don't want to die. If I asked you, do you want to die? No, I don't want to die, but if I did, okay, we go to be with the Lord. I think God gives a unique gift at the end of life, especially when you can see that the end is near, of a peace, of a consolation, of a resting in the promises, a resting in the grace. I'm ready to be with the Lord. Simeon's just saying that in the song in so many words. Simeon is not ready. Verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation. His eyes have seen what his ears had heard. The righteousness of God has come in the flesh. He's just holding a cute baby. Some people love holding babies. I held a little baby last night. Little cute baby sitting in my arms. We could talk about how cute this baby is and how old she is, but the baby's unique to me because it was my niece. So she's cuter to me because she's related to me, right? Simeon's not just holding this cute baby. You can think of a picture of this, but oh, that's so cute. Maybe a little curls. No, it's not the cuteness. It's not the sentimentality aspect of what's going on here. This song is beautiful because he knew of what and of whom he is singing. My eyes have seen your salvation. What is he seeing? What is he seeing? He's seeing the Christ child, the very Savior, the one who just got a new name, Jesus, who would save his people from their sins. He saw it. This song is beautiful in part because Simeon knew what he was singing. He saw the salvation of God. Jesus would later speak to the disciples about seeing and believing. How blessed are those who believe but have not yet seen. That's us. Is that you? Is that your confession? You have not seen Jesus Christ. He's in heaven. But do you believe? Because that much more blessed are you, Jesus says, if that is the case. Can you see? Can you perceive with the spiritual eye that which the physical ability to see cannot touch? Faith is not by sight, dear friend. Faith is a call to trust. Christmas is a reminder that God has given us something that we so desperately need. As sinners, we're unable to save ourselves. If it could have been done by us, Jesus would not have needed to be born. But the promised Savior needed to come. The wonderful thing is that the very God who's angry with sin, the very God who will punish with a perfect righteousness, is the same one who provides the glorious and gracious solution for our sin by his love and mercy and grace. We get ourselves into it by sin. God gets us out by grace. The faithful Simeon had that vision. The heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, they had that vision. They could see beyond. Can you see the promised Savior who has come in the fullness of time? Have you given yourself to him and made him your Lord? If so, Christmas means something altogether different for you then. You can enjoy the family parties and good food and festivities and exchanging gifts or whatever it is you happen to do around the holidays. But if you place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you understand what's taking place here in the significance of Christmas, what a joy. Truly merry in your heart of hearts at Christmas. And yet, you might be struggling because Christmas might be a very, very difficult time for you. Maybe family's far away. Been there, living far away from your parents or your siblings or people that you love. You won't see them. Maybe loved ones have passed away. Maybe friends are too busy. Maybe you're going to sit alone at Christmas. God is near. God is always near to his people. This is his promise to us. None of us will truly spend Christmas alone. The Lord is faithful. Simeon's song continues. It's not just for Simeon that Christ was born, but in the sight of all the people, to Gentiles and to Jews. This is verse 31, you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, that means like all nations of the world, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, that's those who are not Jews, and for your glory, and for glory to your people Israel, the Jewish nation, the ones who initially received the promises, the ones who received the covenants, the one who received the scriptures. Luke and John and their gospels especially focus on Christ being the light. The light is going to shine in the darkness. The light and glory of the Messiah is going to come in and it's going to change the world. The faithful, like Simeon and Anna, have been waiting, and the glory, the light, has arrived. But how many more that have never heard will end up seeing the great light? It's for all the peoples. It's for all the peoples of the world. The gospel goes to the ends of the earth. That's God's promise. That's Simeon's song. Let that be our prayer. Thirdly, Simeon's prophecy, verse 33. Verse 33 makes clear that Joseph and Mary did not expect this song and meeting with Simeon to take place. And his father and his mother marveled at what had been said about him. Well, how did he know? Well, the text tells us that the Holy Spirit had informed Simeon, maybe in a similar way to Joseph and Mary being told by the angel Gabriel. Mary and Joseph didn't doubt. They knew that what Simeon said was true, but they were amazed. They marveled at this. They marveled at the song. But the message isn't over. After Simeon blesses them, which would have involved something like a benediction at the end of a worship service, Simeon would have likely placed his hands on the heads of Joseph and Mary. He then turns to Mary with a special message. And the message is to Mary, but it's really about her child. It's about Jesus. Verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." There are four parts of this prophecy. The first part is that Jesus will be destined to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel. What this means is that Jesus will be a stumbling block. Some will stumble and fall and perish, but some will be lifted up. Some will be saved. To think of the picture of somebody, say, tripping over a rock, the only way you can trip over a rock is if you first are standing. And so there's a warning there for those who are standing. Take heed lest you fall. Think of the proud Judas Iscariot. He was running with the great crowd. He had the Messiah with him. He had such a position. He was within reach of Jesus at the Last Supper. He had such a position, they entrusted him with the money. He's a treasure of the deacons, so to speak. But his heart was hardened. He was proud. Think of the unbelieving Pharisee, or the teacher of the law, the one who prayed, "Thank you, I'm not like this one." The one who rejected Jesus. John chapter 1, Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. They rejected him. It wasn't to the king. It wasn't to Herod that Jesus came, or that the angels came. The angels came to the shepherds, to nobodies, out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. It comes to the lowly, to those losers out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. Nothing great about them. No prestige in the eyes of the world. But where does the gospel come today? Well, maybe the most difficult place for evangelism is places of prosperity and wealth. We know the nature of that. God gave the principle. He warned Israel, when they get in the land, you get all settled in. You're all settled in your house. You're settled in your gardens, your fields, your vineyards. Beware. Beware. Once you have, once you're secure, once you have a gate around your house, do not forget the Lord your God. Said it multiple times. Why? Because that's the danger. And we could complain about, you know, where things were 50 years ago. People knew the Bible more. Churches were fuller, this and that. What's taking place? Well, one danger is wealth. Many people living in wealth. Many people thinking that they don't need God. Maybe others are living in poverty and think God cannot help them. You can be raised up. Everyone can be raised up. The wealthy and the poor. The loved and the despised, you can be raised up when you bow humbly before him in faith. The next phrase in this prophecy is that Jesus will be spoken against. This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. A sign that is opposed. Be rejected. He'll be spoken against. We know that this took place throughout his whole life, but especially at the end. False witnesses rose up against him. The Jews accused him of blasphemy, and they cried out, "Crucify him." So already here, second week of his life, this Christ child, the word comes to Mary, his mother, that a word, a sign, that is opposed for this child. The cross is in sight. The son of Mary's was not just any child. She had other children. We know that she has a son or a boy, James. It's not true of him. He will not be for the rising and falling of many Israel. He will not be for a sign that is opposed, spoken against. This son, though, this firstborn child, would be unique all to himself. He'd be the sinless one who would take sin upon himself. He'd be opposed. And this third phrase is that the thought of many hearts will be revealed. So we have here this parenthetical phrase, the sword will pierce through your own soul also, so the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Let's take that last phrase first. What does that mean, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed? Well, really, there's two references here in this phrase, that many hearts may be revealed. In time, as Jesus begins his earthly ministry, it's going to be pretty clear there's not people on neutral ground that either hate the Lord Jesus Christ or they love the Lord Jesus Christ. But they will show their true allegiance in time. Let me give you an example. If you have a Bible open, turn over to Luke chapter 17. And the interesting thing about the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he preached the same sermon to the same people, and half would believe and half would reject it. Some would receive him. Others would reject him. So here in Luke 17, this is an example, starting back in verse 11, we have Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. So he cleanses these 10 lepers. They have to go and show yourselves to the priest, verse 14. They went and were cleansed. And then verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. 10%. Only 1 out of 10 came back in gratitude to the Lord. In a startling statement later, Jesus will say, you must hate your father and mother and follow me. What's he saying? He must be number one. He must be central. We must worship Christ. Not money, not family, not a nation, but a God who saves through Jesus Christ. It is when the pressure is put on that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. You see them in their true colors. And the going gets tough. The second reference here is to the final judgment and the ultimate coming of Christ's kingdom in all of its fullness. The books will be opened. The consciences will be opened. Nothing will be concealed. It will all be clear. The sheep will be separated from the goats. On Christmas, we focus on the birth of Jesus. Or look, we're focusing on a Christ child here. But the death, the resurrection, and the second coming must always be in sight for the child of God. We look unto that. We look unto the promise. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. May ours be found in Christ. And in the final phrase of this prophecy is directed to Mary. You can see it there. It's in brackets. And the sword will pierce through your own soul also. This is a reference to the death of her son at a relatively young age. Not only will she witness the death, Mary was there at the cross, but it will be because of the cries of the mob, in light of false witnesses, and most of the disciples, most of the friends, will flee. They'll return later, but they fled. She will witness his humiliation as he hung naked upon the cross, bleeding, being mocked, ridiculed. How horrible to lose a child, to lose a son. How horrible to watch it happen. The just for the unjust. The sinless one for sinners. She will know, not just in her mind, but in the depth of her heart, in a very unique way, as the mother of our Lord, what Isaiah meant in Isaiah 53. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. This prophecy would have been difficult to hear. A sword will pierce your own heart also. It would have been difficult, but also glorious for Mary to hear. This baby would be her Savior and ours. This is the one we remember and worship at Christmas. This is the true reason for the season. It's a season of song. We've been singing a lot lately. And from what has been my experience, people love Christmas carols. They love the men and the choir singing and the children singing. It's wonderful. This is a season of song. It's a season to sing the Psalms, the prophecies, the promises fulfilled. It's a time to sing the Gospels, the songs of Mary and Zechariah and the angels and Simeon. It is a season of carols, for the babe becomes king. The babe becomes king, and he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. Isn't the greatest wonder of his love that God would so love us that he would freely give us salvation in Jesus Christ? Is this your Savior? Then sing and worship and praise and witness to that one who was born as the eternal gift from God, our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Holy Father in heaven, for your mercy. We thank you that you promised Simeon of old that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. And we thank you that you've revealed this to us in your holy word. Take your word and apply it to our hearts and our lives. Fill us with faith and thanksgiving, worship and praise. We pray that you will fill us with also a longing for the return of our Savior. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. We pray that you will prepare us for that. We pray, Lord, that you will do that mighty work now by your Holy Spirit. Continue to sustain us, uphold us, and give us your grace. We ask also for your blessing upon our offering this morning. We pray for the work of Ileana Christian High School. We pray that you will keep the school faithful to your word, strong. We thank you for the blessing of addition being built and enrollment going up. We pray, Lord, that you will keep Ileana from any dangers of seeking to grow the school. We pray for faithfulness. And this might be a place where teachers who love you might nurture the hearts of your covenant youth. And so we pray that you will encourage them and keep them, even through the giving of our offering. Hear us now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.